Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The smell of pig shit is one of a kind. It's not like dog shit or cow shit. This smell, bad. It's really bad. And it never goes away. Gets into your clothes. Gets into all kinds of stuff. But you know, for us,
smells like money.
Hello, sugars. It's Maddie. You're probably wondering, why is Pig Royalty dropping again? This already happened. Well, if you haven't been listening, Pig Royalty is coming back on March 16th. But right now, you can watch it all on Animal Planet. I think they've aired 6 episodes. So we are dropping kind of what we're doing on Discovery Plus. When it airs on Discovery Plus, we're going to have it on our Patreon and Supercast feeds. But when it airs on Animal Planet, we're going to drop it on the free feed. So that's what we're doing for you today. So enjoy season 1 of Pig Royalty. It's one of the best shows out there. And we got to say, I know we don't want to tell people to buy shit, but Discovery Plus is kind of worth it for a month just for Pig Royalty, y'all. That's all we're saying. You can change something else. Or you can wait a year from now when it drops on Animal Planet and we'll drop this on the free feed again. All right, y'all. Enjoy.
Y'all. This is Pig Royalty.
Okay. This is Pig Royalty.
This is Discovery Plus. Those of you who have bought Discovery Plus or have signed up because of us, you now know it was worth it.
I'm not sorry. I would have said for the single life, it's good. It's great. But I still say I'm sorry I made you pay for this.
Nope.
I have no regrets for this.
I think even if this stretches into 2 months, if you're paying $5, $6 a month for this, totally worth it.
Or you could wait. You could wait and do this all in a binge once the show's out. Just pay your $8 with no commercials and then you're done in a day.
Pig Royalty is immaculate. What are you? I know how I feel because I've watched the first 3 episodes.
I waited because I wanted to have a different point of view. I literally just watched the first episode.
Yeah, that's why you watched it. That's why you waited.
Well, it is. I don't want to be dropping pearls that you already know. I want to have the experience of our listener. Can't I just
listener,
have that?
The one.
Not listeners. Listener of Gary.
Of Carl's wife.
Gary and Carl's wife. In Montauk.
How do you respond? What did you think? What are words that come to mind when you think of Pig Royalty?
Real.
Yeah.
Real. This was the future Farmers of America in Lone Grove, Oklahoma, y'all. The pig competition at the Hardy.
This cannot be a Lone Grove story.
I'm just saying.
Your thoughts.
No, the competitions at Hardy Murphy Coliseum were ruthless.
How did you get out of showing pigs?
Show pigs.
That's
all my friends show pigs.
So you did have friends who showed pigs.
Oh yes, everywhere, y'all, and they all got scholarships.
So what kept
my
you
friend
from doing
Jessica,
it?
Her cousin always wore her rope. You knew when she had her ropers on. There's our school, Lone Grove. You drive like a mile from the school, and there's a huge farm for the FFA. They have their own school, and they teach the kids how to
show pigs.
How to show pigs. They teach them.
How? But I'm saying, how did you avoid becoming a pig shower? Becoming
limp,
into...
Limp wrist.
Gotcha.
That did
because
it.
Because the judge would have said, yeah, you're out, faggy.
Yeah. Was,
hey, Mr. Hallam, I want to show this pig. Can I please?
They're like,
that's his name.
The pig
that's
can trot, honey. You can't.
That was true. The guy who did FFA was also one of the big, like, wasn't like bishops, but he was really, really, really big in Lone Grove First Baptist, and his wife always sang at First Baptist. But Mr. Hallam.
First Baptists don't have bishops.
It's whatever. There was something kind of
minister.
Upper level. Maybe. Anyway, his wife, she had a beautiful voice. She would always sing. And then he always would wear ropers kind of up at his real waist. Not at your low waist, but up at his real waist.
What are ropers? Kind of had, I don't know what those are.
Ropers.
What are
the
they?
The jeans. The jeans.
They're called ropers?
Yeah. That's what, that was what they, roper jeans. That's what all the girls especially, but the guys would wear, your Wranglers, your ropers.
Oh, is that a brand name or is it a specific type of jeans?
Well, I'm from rodeo country. So a lot of people did rodeos and I think still the international rodeos in Oklahoma City. So people are ropers because you're like riding a horse and you're roping. It's competition.
How are those different than other jeans?
They're competition. They're nicer. So, like, all the future farmers, they would wear their ropers on the days that they were going to show pigs for competition.
I thought this was a brand of jeans that was called
ropers. It might be,
ropers.
Maybe.
I don't know. I just saw it's like something that Mr. Roper would wear from Three's Company. So, it's like a nice dress jean, you're saying?
Yes.
I see. That makes sense.
So, and they're usually high-waisted.
Okay.
And so, like, the butt is very pronounced because they're, you know, they're up.
Yeah.
And so... Anyway,
we need to keep going.
What happening?
We have so much
oh my
to
God.
Say about pig royalty, not so me, your history.
So God. For me, it is real.
Okay,
the competition is—it's just real. That's when people are watching this are thinking, is this made up? Is this fake?
I don't care,
y'all. This is real. What about you? What were some words for you?
Compelling. I they captured lightning in a bottle because I rarely see a reality show topic that I'm like, because when I saw Pig Royalty, I'm like, ugh. I watched the trailer and I went, oh, this is really well done. Oh, this looks like a documentary film where
yes.
It feels filmic to me. And it feels like a film that is stretched out into almost a mini series. It looks like something that belongs on fucking HBO Max.
Well, I don't think you've watched Cheer yet.
I did. I couldn't get past the first episode.
I love Cheer. And I thought this was very similar the way it was filmed. And the feeling, it's a documentary of Cheer.
Yeah. I couldn't get past it.
You're just not into that world.
No, I'm not. Too much positivity.
Positivity, the woman. But I almost even wonder if it's the same production company because it's Texas and everything. Anyway,
maybe.
It was. If you're into cheerleading, I highly recommend Cheer. If you like Pig Royalty,
y'all, this is mythic. This whole thing. This is the same kind of idea of a reality show of. You've got one clan versus another
the
clan.
The Hatfields and McCoys.
And it's all told through pig showing. And these, and pigs.
The Capulets and the Montagues.
Yes. And it's so good. The characters are so compelling. Then there are people like Nugget. We fall in love with little Nugget.
Uh-huh.
And then we have the three horrible daughters who might as well be the three witches from the Scottish play.
The Carlisles and the Cheeks.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, the Carlisles and the Cheeks. Oh, those are two families in Long Grove. They hate each other.
I should not know these two families.
Well, the Carlisles, apparently they settled Long Grove back when Long Grove. You know what?
This is not going to be a Lone Grove. This is not happening. No, no.
I'm just saying, y'all, the Carlisles and the Cheeks don't fuck with that story. I'm just going to say someone died. Someone's horses died. We don't know where either are buried.
Oh, I'm still not interested. Mostly because this is about Texas and not about buttfuck Oklahoma. So let's dig in. Yeah.
This is about Texas in the San Antonio area.
I thought it was northern.
It's San Antonio.
Oh, so it's farther west.
They all live in suburbs of San Antonio. And that's what's interesting to me, because I think a lot of people forget. I love there's just a little bit more diversity, and we're seeing more of, like, because San Antonio is very, it's like this Tex-Mex.
Yeah.
And, like, you see cowboys in San Antonio, but you also see, like, you have rancheros, right? Isn't that?
Yeah.
I think so. It's a different type of vibe than, like, it's very different, and I think way more interesting, honestly, than, like, Dallas.
Dallas, yeah. But I think so, they travel everywhere in Texas, because the
that's where they're rooted, in San Antonio.
In Dallas.
Yes.
And I think what's interesting is you can tell, like, this is not, they could have chosen, and I think we see this in the pig showing, they could have chosen normal, your normal white bread, white people to do this. They did not. They chose people, both of these women. I'm not sure what Jody's background is. Both these women are married to Mexican men or Latino men.
That's just normal in San Antonio, in that part of the country.
But I'm saying, if you see the rest of the people who are showing pigs, they don't look like that. These are people who are already.
They look like Mr. Hallam. It was very, very white.
I don't know who that is. You can't.
I want to contact Mr. Hallam. See how he's doing.
But he was a sweet man. I'm just saying, that's already interesting, because as far as I know, I don't know if Mexican culture has a variation of pig showing.
Oh, I'm almost positive they do. But I don't know. I mean, just from, I've come at us, Mexican sissies, let us know.
But it's just, I'm saying, this just sounds like something that is Western / culture, and they married into it.
Well, I know that, like, so the way it works in Texas, I know the little bit I know, it doesn't happen as much in Oklahoma, more and more now, because actually there's a lot of, horses are a bigger deal in Oklahoma, where I'm from, where we had pigs, but everybody has horse ranches where we are.
Yeah.
And so, and some cattle, but it used to be more in Texas, because I remember people making racial disparaging remarks about it.
Yeah.
But we're growing up, like, people saying that, like, you know, that here their horses are raised by white people, like, people would say shit like that when I was
really
growing up. Not in my family, but, like, I would hear
friends
say those disparaging. That's not the case anymore. So what I think is interesting is that a lot of, there's this legacy of Latinx people who've really came to this country. Like, I would be surprised, but I feel like there's probably a legacy of people that have worked really hard to move up and now are kind of this acclaimed pig trainers, acclaimed, and really have this knowledge. And that's just, San Antonio is just a cool city.
No, I agree. I'm just wondering if there's a Mexican tradition of it.
I don't know. I know just from the little bit of, and I'm treading lightly on this because I don't want to say the wrong thing. I know a little bit to fuck it up. So that's why I'm not going to give an expert opinion on it.
I'm trying to, because I know for a lot of the Future Farmers of America stuff, that stuff comes from white people.
Yes.
And so definitely. So I'm just saying that's interesting that we already have both of these teams are not just pure white people.
Yeah.
Already we're in a different area.
I mean, this show is diverse as fuck. My mouth dropped at the amount of diversity that happened in this
episode. When the lesbian couple showed up, I lost my mind. I was just putting in the Sissy Squad. So we're in Dallas, which is kind of the capital of North Texas. And I'm saying that in a very specific way, because North Texas kind of belongs to the upper rural part with mixed with Oklahoma and this kind of
Arkansas
region, which is more southern. And low and mid to lower Texas is where you have a lot more diversity, places like Austin and Houston. And in general, the power is still in the hands of white people, in general, in North Texas. So it's interesting to start off here, and they start with a prayer. as
they do.
So many things happen.
Guide us with our path.
They throw some shine spray on Cannon's hair. Now, I need to talk about, we're going to talk about the
shine spray is also the shine spray they use in the pig.
Yes, yes.
So I just want to say,
I didn't bat an
eye. Where can I get some shine spray? That's all I want to say. Where is it?
And they put it on the boy's hair, whose name is Cannon, and it is spelled K-A-N-N-E-N, I believe.
Is that biblical? It's not, is
no.
it?
No.
Cannon.
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 Well, we're going to find out later. The girls all have K names. So your favorite tradition. So we meet Jody, you guys. Jody the Reen. Jody Reen, who is married to Josh. And she basically says, this is our kind of matriarch of the Reens.
Yes.
And she said, I was a poor kid growing up, so I'm trying to give my kids, live my dreams through my kids. And
at least she admits it.
She admits it. And Jody is the audience's way in, obviously. And we kind of empathize with her mostly. Maybe things will change, but at the very beginning, that's who we're going to identify with. She's also the first person to talk. And in the documentary, you guys, that's always going to be the person who's going to take you on the journey.
Usually.
Usually, yes.
It's not just, I don't want to say just Joe. I mean, yes, it's Jody, but I feel like Jody's family seems like the kind of the most relatable.
They are.
You know, family. Yeah, definitely.
So then we move to Michelle Bolero.
The Boleros.
And her cousin, Nugget.
Nugget. Now, first of all, how do I describe Michelle Bolero?
She was looking for the Toddlers and Tiaras pageant, but showed up at a pig show.
Basically,
yeah.
there is not a leopard print that this woman hasn't worn.
Totally true.
If it's leopard, she's going to put it on her body.
Or cheetah.
If it's animal print and sequined, you bet it's been on her body multiple times.
And she's a little too tan. Hair's a little too treated. And the eye makeup, I'll let you take this one.
The eye makeup is, it looks a little tired. It's interesting that her daughters are so beat. And her daughters are beat. But it's like she did all of her daughters' makeup first. And then when they got ready to go to the ball, she said, what about me? And Mackenzie said, just slap something on your eyes with your fingers. And that's kind of what she did. And I'm going to be honest, because we're nothing but honest on this show. Michelle Bolero is kind of what I look like in drag.
You are dead on.
I'm just going to be honest. It's just kind of like a...
And I kind of look like Mackenzie in drag.
You fucking wish.
Maybe the other one. Maybe McCall. Could I be McCall?
You look like none of them in drag. You look like the guy we're going to see in later episodes who's the man actually wearing makeup.
We need to talk about... So there's Nugget. He's the cousin. And he's kind of become the surrogate child of Michelle because all her daughters have gone out. They've moved out of the house. She had three...
So the Boleros are a lineage of three women. And they talk about how... Well, we'll get to them in a minute, but I just want to explain. Some people are going, wait a minute. I'm confused. Nugget. Nugget is a child, is a boy.
Whose name is Tainter. we had to look that up. His name is Tainter.
Tainter. But they call him Nugget or the Nugget.
The Nugget with the definite article.
And so I think Michelle's sister-in-law is the mother.
She is.
Of Nugget. And so... And Nugget is just, like, he looks...
Nugget's
like
the star of the show as
like
well,
he's a star. He looks like a little hobbit. He's just adorable.
Got a cute little round face.
And so, anyway, he calls Michelle...
Barn bitch.
Barn bitch one. and calls his mom Barn Bitch 2. And that's where I said, wait a minute, Poodle and I have been called that in an Apple Podcasts review.
I don't know who was 1 and 2.
Yeah, it was still 5 stars, so I didn't mind.
Who cares?
But sure.
So we're basically, we find out the daughters are Michaela, the oldest, Mackenzie, and McCall.
Michaela, Mackenzie.
And McCall. I'm going to give a moment for your bile to be, to swallow your bile, everybody out there. Those are three awful Southern names.
Michaela, Mackenzie,
actually, Michaela,
and McCall.
I've heard. McCall, I've never heard as a first name. But the idea of naming them in threes like that. And can you imagine her screaming, Michaela, Mackenzie, McCall? Michaela, Mackenzie, McCall?
It kind of sounds like a Southern parrot.
Michaela, Mackenzie, McCall!
Michaela, McCall!
Their faces are beat. They're three beautiful girls. And
they're gorgeous. And this is how, I don't know if it is for you, this is how a lot of girls look where I'm from.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This was very North Texas, too, that I remember.
Wearing way too much makeup. Y'all, they're pageant. They're pageant girls.
Yeah.
So all of them, their hair isn't blonde anymore, but back when they show pictures of them showing pigs,
big old
it was all
bumps.
Pink. They had huge hair. They all, y'all, they have outfits that they wear. They wear jeans with white pressed shirts.
No, khakis. Khakis with
or
white
khakis
shirts.
Khakis with white pressure, which is what FFA did. That's an FFA thing.
And it feels almost like some type of cult, how they wear those white shirts and khakis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they had a pink trailer that said the Rhinestone Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And
Michelle's trying to brand them, and she's doing a damn good job.
Now, the reason they do all, but there's different because whereas we should say with Jody, the Ren, right? That's how
Ring.
You say their last name.
Ring.
There were the Ring girls. So for Ren, it was Cammy and Kylie.
I think it's Keenly. Keely.
I just heard a K thing and I went, King.
It is Keely and Keely. Cammy. And Keely is spelled like, hand me that key to that door, like K-E-Y-L. I-E, and Cammy with a K, and I believe it's K-A-M-M-I.
Y'all, these are names that it's not ever going to happen to a CEO.
That's not fair. You don't know that.
I'm just saying.
I don't enjoy the gimmick of it. I just feel sorry about having these people having to spell their names consistently.
It's consistently.
And
so
Cannon
now,
is the youngest.
And Cannon is the youngest. So Keely and Cammy, they had outfits too.
They showed pigs as well.
Cammy always wore the Texas flag, and Keely always wore the American flag. So now every time they show something, Cannon always wears some type of American flag shirt, kind of like Garth Brooks.
And I kind of think this is a decent brand to do. It doesn't feel as gross to me as the white shirt and khakis.
Well,
I don't know why.
An American flag show always gets noticed by the judge. Always. Always gets noticed.
So I just want to say one more thing before we'll talk a little bit more about the Bolero daughters later. But basically, Mackenzie is the tallest and the darkest and is definitely the villain of the show.
She even says, like, she says she's a bitch, but she also, that's her word, not ours. She's like, they thought of us as bitches. She's like, I'm not very nice. I'm a bitch. And then she looks at her sister, Michaela, who's the oldest, and said, she's a bitch, too. And Michaela just kind of looks out.
Y'all, Mackenzie is a very unhappy person.
Y'all, Mackenzie,
and she's scary.
Is like scary evil.
Yeah, she's, and I think it comes from a place of hurt for sure.
Oh.
But
oh yeah,
y'all, they found themselves a villain, and I knew you knew that when they were editing the footage that night and looking at it, they're like, "This is so good.
This is." These producers like just started hugging each other. Mm-hmm. This show is just, it reminds me of like, say what you want to about her now. It reminds me of like Mama June and Baby June. It's just like,
it's Toddlers and Tiaras, but with higher stakes in a way, because this is a huge money grab and also almost generational rivalries. Between these two families.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to describe there are two Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say also, this is, again, their words, not ours. This also not as about, it's also about this, what I love about this show, it's also, it's putting in, it's just combining a lot of elements, because it also is talking about classism.
Yeah.
Where the Bolero sisters, like, this sounds, but at least from what the looks of it, the Bolero sisters, they're the blingy girls, that's what they call them. They live in a house, and they're considered more wealthy, where the The Ring girls say, we're white trash, and we're just above that. And then the Bolero sisters are
Sephora,
way above us.
Yeah, or something like that.
And like you see, they're living in a trailer house. And like, it's just, I'm not judging that. I'm just saying, though, y'all, that's a big deal. Probably where you're from, too. Where I'm from, like, there's not a lot of rich people where I'm from, but my parents didn't teach me this, but I know other people that would look, if you lived in a brick house, they wouldn't let you date somebody who lived in a trailer house.
It's similar in South Carolina.
And so I imagine those same dynamics. Y'all might watch this and not think a thing about it.
Yeah.
But just so you know, the Bolero sister, they've thought about this. It's part of their like world. So we're talking about classism too.
Yeah. It's classless. We're delving into every aspect of these people's lives and culture and class through pig showing, which is why
through
it's so good.
Which is normally what Poodle calls his Saturday night.
Y'all, who wants to come to the pig show?
Sweet!
I've thrown in some fresh wood chips.
Fresh wood chips.
Basically, I want to say there's two categories of pig showing. There's best breed, which is when you can get the more money.
That's Poodle's Friday night.
Best breeding. And then there's showmanship. That's Saturday. That's more a Saturday night.
That's true.
And so that's more about the handler. And the breeding is much more about the pig. So you can win a lot more money from breeding than you can from showmanship.
They get this money. They've all used these kids compete in this because I don't know if they actually give them checks or if it's considered money for scholarships.
I do not know.
But they pay for like $60,000 to pay for school and college. That's a big deal.
So it's quite lucrative.
And again, that's a thing where I grew up. Y'all, it was very rare that your parents could just pay for your college.
Right.
So it was, that's why I got into music and started doing music because I needed to get a scholarship to help pay for school.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of, and that is why these kids did this. I mean, they enjoyed it, but that all of these things are, they did it just for scholarship money. I think that's everywhere though in America. But.
Yeah. I mean, but especially in rural areas, even though these are suburbs of San Antonio, you get outside the city, it's basically rural.
Because your talent, that your extracurricular activity is your way out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not super, super smart and making a perfect SAT and all that, but even then in rural communities, even if you're really smart, you still have to compete with the smart kids who live in the city and have access to way.
Right.
It's just, that's harder. So it really is, you latch, because I guarantee you, y'all, Mackenzie wants to move out of this town probably as quickly as possible.
I think they all don't live with their mom anymore, though. They're there for the show. They're there for the show. They all want their reality shows. They all want their spinoff.
They'll get it.
And Jody could have her own, too. I think Jody could probably have, and that family could, but the girls are perfect for it.
This is what's exciting about, I have to say, God, I'm so mad at them because, especially since they tried to sue us. This is what's exciting about Discovery Plus is because this wouldn't work on TLC.
No.
The way it's filmed, the way it's edited, like you said, feels premium, and it would
feel HBO
weird
Max to me.
And the show probably wouldn't go far on TLC. It's so beautifully done.
It's too niche. It's too niche. It's too expensive for TLC on the air, and it's too niche for premium television.
Yeah.
It's perfect for something like this. And I thought it was going to be like some kind of another bad farm animal show about goofy people having like showing pigs and being weird. That's not what this is, y'all. This is real people. You said before, you would say real. This is real conflict, real families. Anyway, So more talk about, they have their first competition. This is in Dallas, and Cannon is showing his pig, and also Nugget is showing as well. And their kids are kind of close in age. I think Ken is a little older than Nugget.
I think.
Yeah.
We should describe for people that, can we talk about kind of what happens in a pig showing for people that don't have Discovery Plus? Okay.
So basically you have how you show a pig. I never thought I would have to describe this on air.
Yeah.
But who knew I'd be here?
Who knew?
When I was signing up for those doctoral classes. So you have the pig, and it's kind of walking. It's Zuckerman's famous pig, nose
Ooh,
in the air.
Wow, looking him down. Zuckerman's famous pig.
And you got a little, they call it a whip, but it's not. So don't think that they're actually whipping the pigs, you guys. They're just kind of tapping them in the direction they want them to go in.
Yes.
And you have to build your rapport with this pig. So the pig, you're using the little wand or whip or whatever it is, and you're kind of making them go in a direction. You're touching the side of their face, and they're kind of going, and you're trying to keep their head
up. It's literally
up.
Just touching. It's not.
And you're trying to keep their, to show the judges their best, like butt, haunches. I've actually promenaded in this way quite often across that bar.
Are we talking about pig showing now? Because now it just feels like poodle dating.
But instead of a whip, it's like a vodka soda right here.
Vodka soda right on his
right
cheek.
On my cheek. Dick, 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 dick.
But here's, that sounds easy enough, but y'all, they're doing this in a big pen with 20 other pigs
and they're trying
20
to make
other handlers.
Eye contact with the judges.
So there's one judge and you have to make contact with the judge. You have to get the judge. So part of the game is getting the judge to notice your pig in the sea.
Yeah.
It's like a chorus line. And I hope I get it. It's like a chorus number where
how
the choreographer
is. How many piglets does he need? How many boys? How many sows? How many?
Look at all the piglets. At all the piglets. But it is like a mass. It's like a dance. Or like, so you think you can dance when there's 20
really
people dancing.
I need
okay,
this buckle.
Focus. There's 20 people dancing and they pick one of the pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where they pick the best breed and the best showman. So that's what Nugget and that's what
Cannon
are doing, right? They're showing the pigs. And so they show the pigs. Turns out neither of them win.
And
it doesn't go well.
Cannon, because he's probably, what is he, 10, 10, 11?
He's like 10. He's a little bit older than Nugget, but not much.
And Nugget's probably 8 or 9. Maybe 9.
Yeah.
So Cannon immediately starts crying because that's what 10-year-old boys do when you lose and you feel like a lot of pressure. And the people are kind of yelling at them to do both things. Reminded me, kind of flashed me back to soccer games with my mother.
Because we should say,
get
there's
down the field!
Yeah, come that's
on.
True. They're,
come on, Jay Bird. Caw. Ref, what are you doing?
Y'all, because while they show the pigs, they are yelling at them.
Yeah.
Did your mother ever yell so much that you were embarrassed?
Oh, all the time. We asked her. It got to the point where our coach asked our mother not to yell anymore.
Did she?
She still did, but she kept herself. She screamed. She would just yell at the refs. She's like, wait a minute. That he pushed that kid. She'd scream all the time. It's why I stopped playing soccer, actually.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, Mother Poodle loves to yell at the refs. I guarantee you there are moms out there who are just as bad, who are listening, who are yelling at their...
My sister-in-law, Amber, she's that way. Mm-hmm. She gets total sports crazy.
Yeah.
Come at us, sports crazy moms. And so they're crying. Now, it's showing that, whereas, it's interesting because they're showing that with the Reens, they're very supportive.
Yeah, they're telling Kim dry up, but that's what they tell little boys in the South, unfortunately.
But they're also saying things like,
you'll get better. Yeah, Tyler, the gay coach for the
Reens. Tyler, who's like a 20-year-old gay coach, he's like supporting him. Whereas Nugget is just kind of like, I didn't win, that sucks.
The sisters are like, You were doing it all wrong. I've never seen you show that poorly.
Yeah, and Michelle is kind of like the dance mom, where she's just like cussing, saying fucking judges and piece of shit. And now, but notice though, Michelle is the woman who keeps talking about how classy they are.
Yeah, I guarantee you when this aired for the first time, I guarantee you Michelle probably tried to file a lawsuit against them because she's appearing so badly.
Well, and again, to go back to classism stuff, y'all, so they go to, they do all these smaller tournaments and shows and fairs and things. Because it's a season, y'all. This happens always in the fall. Mm-hmm. It's like pig season. That's show
pig season.
Exactly.
That's coming up for me, y'all. Got my second shot. Ooh, pig season starts in 10 days.
10 days. Wow. But there's the big championship is in San Antonio. And she says, yes, the Reens have won smaller buckles and smaller champion. It's just like beauty pageants. But they never won like the state championship in San Antonio. Only they've won that. And so that's where we get into a little bit. They start the boys didn't win, and then go ahead.
I just want to say, are you going to talk about the Bolero girls a little bit more and some of the discussion?
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead. You can talk about that.
So they're talking. They're sitting there in their interview. Three of them.
On a swing bench in the middle of a prairie.
The editing and the shooting of this is just delicious.
It is.
And they're sitting, and she's like, they're all like, we're trendsetters. And Mackenzie's talking a lot.
Y'all, they're the Kardashians of South Texas.
And then they ask Mackenzie, they're like, do you know the Reens? And she's like, I saw them in a couple shows. Did they win buckles? It was the equivalent of, I don't know her. It was amazing.
She would literally, and they're like, no, but they won. And she's like,
I don't know.
I don't know if they did or not.
Good for them. It's like, whatever.
It is.
It's delicious. It's so good. Then they're saying, basically, look at all our ribbons, blah, blah, blah. And then also the Boleros, I'm just going on with the Boleros. There's this rumor, Tyler is talking about this, the gay coach, which is really interesting.
Yeah, let's talk about secrets in general. There's a whole section about secrets.
Tyler says...
they get down and dirty.
It's like, you know, the Boleros...
Snuggling up to the judges and the breeders.
They're snuggling up to the judges, the Boleros, and the breeders. And it's like, and that guy is juicing. And he's like, I don't know if they're juicing those pigs or what. And Roy, I think his name is Roy Bolero. That's the husband of Michelle.
The husband.
Basically says, I don't know. You know, I'm just...
He says, I got no secrets.
I got no secrets. And Nugget's mom goes, yeah, you do. You won't let anybody come in there and see him.
Yeah, she goes, that's what I love about Southern people is they will call each other out.
Yeah.
For instance, being... So,
y'all, Teresa don't have teeth either, so don't really look at her. No.
She doesn't have teeth at all. Mm-mm. And whereas... So it's also like the Bolero. So Michaela, it was a rumor that she was sleeping with one of the judges.
One of the judges. And Michaela, now, on camera, the editing is such, she's like, no, I earned everything. I earned everything that I then, got on your back.
On your, and then we cut to Mackenzie, and we hear the producer say, did you ever sleep with a judge? And she said, no. You should probably ask Michaela about that, though. She literally throws her sister... under the bus. Even when she says, when I heard that, I was kind of like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Like, I think her sister started the rumor.
She has, I think so. She has allegiance to no one.
It's almost amazing. It kind of takes your breath away how cold she is.
Because even Poodle wouldn't do that to me. And she's a shady bitch.
Maybe.
But what I want to bring up, you know, I was just reminded about this. My brother, he's like changing jobs and stuff like that. And he was like, oh, I just want to do a good job. And I said kind of my quote that I've been saying a lot, like, what other people think of you is none of your business. And he said, that's not the case in a small town. What other people think of you in a small town is a big deal and you can't get away from it.
It's fair.
And even more so when you're a woman and even more so when you're a pretty woman.
Yep.
And it's that... this idea, it sounds stupid or it seems antiquated, but the fact that Michaela slept with a judge, this whole Scarlet...
We don't know that. We just know.
Yeah, that allegedly. I don't think she did. But anyway.
You haven't seen the second episode.
Okay. Well, it's not. But anyway, it's not if she did or she didn't. Mm-hmm. It's the rumor that ruins her.
Yeah.
It's the rumor that gives her a scarlet. And this brings up another point. Y'all, when you live in small towns like this, especially in the South, but I think probably anywhere, the legacy of your family and what your family does in the community is kind of, for some families, all they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. That's a big deal to my father, to the other Mars in our community, yeah, of how people see us. It's a real, I think you said, mentioned that like on your mom's side of the family, yeah, that's a big deal for them.
It's a big deal because that is, it's not necessarily, you hold also the worth of your entire family.
Yes, that's a great way to put it.
And that is a very antiquated kind of tribal way to live, but that is the way people live in the South and in small rural communities.
Yeah.
That's how they live.
Sorry for doing a bit of like anthropology, but I feel like it's important to I think that's why Jake and I like the show. It's why I love Cheer. It's like, we get it. We get this culture.
Yeah.
We know it. We lived it. That's why we got out of it.
Right. So there, we also meet in the Reen family. We've already talked about the two girls, Cammy and Keely, and Cannon, the little boy. We also meet Manu, their exchange student from fucking Madrid.
This is where I went, what the fuck is happening?
Is there going to be like an Inuit person with a full harpoon who shows up next?
Yes. Y'all,
a girl, Dutch girl, selling things.
Manu even says, "I love living with the Reens. If you live with the Reens, you better like pigs, or they'll get rid of you."
Or they'll get rid of you, which I can see.
They literally got an exchange student, so that way the exchange student could show pigs in tournaments.
They needed more bodies to have. And what's interesting is, I don't know if they say this on this episode, but I want to say it anyway. The girls sometimes who you see on the Bolero team, they actually pay Michelle to be on their team. The family.
Oh, they do. Mm-hmm. The family does. Wow.
And I think you find it on the next episode, but I think that's a very interesting thing.
And yes.
And Jody is just taking on all these people. I don't think they're paying her.
So people pay Michelle to coach them.
Yes.
And Jody's taking on people.
Yes.
Okay. So that is because, yeah, we're going to talk about that later. And so, you know, it's like, it's this legacy that Michelle talks about that we're going to get to later on, which I think is a better way to end the show.
But. And I want to say that the Reens they've got Tyler, the gay coach. Already we have the diversity for Texas is insane, you guys. And then they have Jody's high school friend. Tykes, something like that.
Mandy.
And Mandy, they were best friends in high school, and Mandy's son Brandon shows for the Reens.
Yeah.
And Mandy's married to Kristen.
Mandy got divorced and Brandon's had a hard time with it, but married
to
Kristen.
A woman.
They also have a younger son, Mason.
I think that's Kristen's son. I think that's
and
Kristen's
Mason
son.
Shows as well.
Yes.
So it's all about this kind of
blended families and kind of outsiders. I find the Reens so. I see compelling again, but I find it. I can't stop watching them, and I'm so interested in them.
Well, I'm just going to give you, we're going to take a little break for a commercial. If you're in the, y'all, this is normally going to be a show at the $8 tier, but the first two episodes are free.
Yeah.
So if you're in our Reality Gaze extra feed, you'll just keep on listening. But the rest of you, we're going to have a commercial. But just as a tease, when we get back, we're going to talk about Notorious P.I.G.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
So, Notorious P.I.G.
That is a pig of the Teeks, I believe.
Teeks. Mandy and Kristen.
Sounds like Dyke, and they're going to get made fun of for that.
What?
Hopefully it's not Tykes. But the
it does.
It's the Teeks, and y'all, that is such a country name where I'm from.
Oh,
that
I've never heard it before.
Oh, Teek. There's just weird.
But it's T-Y-K.
T-Y-K.
Yeah.
So, again, it's Mandy and Kristen. They're kind of the underdogs because basically they don't have a lot of money and they don't.
And they're very new. They're
and they don't have a
new
name for themselves. They're right. Very new to this, and which it's interesting that probably didn't do it because they're a lesbian couple. Usually they would be the gateway into the world. But I like the way they've done it. But don't you agree? Usually it's the person entering the world and we get the world view for there. And they didn't do that. That's why I like it.
It depends on how reliable they are.
Exactly.
So
but don't you see what I'm saying? That's usually the formula of a lot of these reality shows are like, who's the person coming into the world? And I like that they are doing something different with this show.
Yes, but not really, because in a way the Rings are coming into, even though they've been in it for a while, in a bigger way. The lesbian couple are new, and we're going to watch them probably fail and probably get somewhere by the end.
Well, they kind of are betting on the Notorious P.I.G., and that is their pig that they love.
Right.
It looks good. He's doing really well. But, y'all, the pig literally gets sick before.
And they have to give him a shot, and it's terrifying.
Yeah. The pig gets sick before they have a contest in Dripping Springs, Texas.
Dripping Springs.
There's a place called Dripping Springs. No one says Dripping. Everybody calls it Dripping Springs.
Dripping Springs. And what's interesting here is, they say when they're talking about Mandy and Kristen, you know, the son didn't accept it at first, as we said before, but they're doing a brush burning. You ever been to a brush burning on like someone's
yes.
property? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Happens all the time where I'm from.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll just be everyone, you gather the brush and you burn it. Self-explanatory, right? And for some reason, everyone just hangs out and watches it burn.
You just sit around by the fire. And so they're having, it's interesting because Jody really is trying to present this. Jody's no angel, y'all. And she's a very,
Tell us why you think that, but I'm not arguing with you.
I don't think she's, and maybe angels are right. She's still, Usually on these shows, like the Boleros would seem very calculated and the Reens would see the, you kind of think at first the Reens seem very earnest about everything.
Yeah.
But Jody is manipulative and she knows how to work this.
I agree.
And I think that we see a little bit of, she brings these people in, of these people that show under her, and she talks so much about, we're a family.
Right.
We're all going to show pigs together. Like, we're here to support one another. And it feels very kumbaya-ish.
It does. Yep.
And Mandy and Kristen bring up, they say, we're so grateful that you accepted us, the lesbian couple. Mm-hmm. And Tyler's like,
he had a harder time coming out.
I think Jody's almost like a mom to him.
Yeah. He said, basically, you accepted me when my parents really didn't. And we're a United Nations or whatever. He was trying to say Benetton ad.
Which is a big deal in the South anyway, but you also got to think, y'all, this is Tex-Mex. So we've seen what happened with Armando and Kenny with Mexican culture and ideas of homosexuality. So that's a big deal. It's a big deal that Jody's family are so kind of like, we love everybody.
It is.
Everybody come on. That's a very big deal there. And so they kind of present this idea, but then the next, when they show kind of them at the Dripping Springs event, Michelle and them are having to show another pig, and they're totally throwing Jody under the bus and saying, Jody said that she would help them and she didn't do anything. It really is. You can tell
she didn't pick up the phone. Yeah.
Kristen is pissed. Kristen said, well, we tried to reach out, but she never picked up the phone.
Right.
And kind of looks at the camera and you're like, whoa.
And it's really tough because you wonder, yes, Jody's going to take care of her own stuff first. And Jody probably makes a lot of promises when she's trying to get people into what she's doing.
Probably, yeah.
But it was interesting. Did you get clarified the argument? When I watched the first time, I didn't get everything. But what happened was they
kind of have a come to Jesus talk.
Yeah. And they have to show another pig, Strike, who doesn't even show and who's not really ready. The team.
Brandon shows, he doesn't win. And Brandon's like, oh, he didn't even look at me. Didn't even look at the pig.
Right. And so they're basically saying, Jody comes to
Mandy's crying too. We should say, y'all, it becomes full on high school. Kristen's talking to Mandy and Mandy is like, well, everybody else opens their legs and opens their pocketbooks and we can't do that.
It is. She's crying. I'm saying the stakes are so high, you guys.
It is so high school. It's so high school.
So Jody did not get back to them about Notorious being sick.
How to help Notorious.
So what's interesting, they're very upset with her. And Mandy says, I feel like I'm losing, which you just said, I'm losing all the time. I'm doing this. And they didn't. And Kristen is saying, we didn't buy any of the pigs because we were waiting for you. And then Jody says, well, no, I told you a pig. And she's like, but it was $2,400.
And Jody said, there's $10,000 of pigs in there. If you're going to be in the pig pen, you got to spend the money.
Right. And which is an interesting thing to say. But also she's like, well, I'll help you through this. But so how much is she helping? You could also kind of understand where she's coming from. But
it's not. That's kind of where it reminded me, honestly. The way it's filmed, but it's just so referential. It reminded me a bit of the main woman. What is her name? The coach from Cheer. Because she's kind, but she's also Jody kind of, I think, is starting to be this way. Jody sees things very black and white.
Yeah.
And and weirdly, it's like probably to compete and to be, she's had to turn a lot of her emotion off. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't look at these things emotionally. Y'all, Mandy is just a big walking ball of just emotions.
They're going to have to get a little tougher if they're going to do this.
This is going to be hard on their friendship. Yeah.
I want to do talk about a couple of little things that Michelle basically says. It's a great line. She's like, you know, this is going to keep going. My kids will have kids and then their kids are going to show. It's going to come full circle. We're going to keep doing this.
We're not going anywhere. And then she said, and you know, she has daughters. They're going to have kids. They're not going anywhere either.
It's so amazing that they would just expect that all the daughters are going to stay in the area and their kids will be into pig showing. I would just never, if I had children, I would never expect that of my kids.
But I think it's such, it's the family business.
Yeah, I get
it. And a lot of people expect your child to go into the family business.
I get it. There is one part where they, where Michelle has to squeeze out the piss pocket.
Again, that's Poodle's Wednesday night.
Piss pocket.
This was gross.
And you got, she's like, you got to milk it. And so evidently that happens. The urine gets trapped in some part of their penis, and you have to squeeze it out. Or some part of their bladder, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yes, yes.
It was disturbing. I thought it was interesting. There was one little, also a little bit about the Canes, who are the family who are who show with the Boleros.
Yes,
there are two girls who do that, and though we do see later on, Jody starts talking to the father of those two girls and says, "Oh, your girls are doing
great."
They're
twin girls, right?
I'm not sure if they're twins. Maybe at least fraternal. But they say things like, "Yeah, your daughters are doing great. If you need anything, just give me a call."
And this is where I'm talking about.
That is sly, and she knows it pisses Michelle off.
And Michelle is over there going, "I can't believe she's doing that. This is a bunch of bullshit."
Yeah.
And she is pissed. And then this is after already they did a showing in Dripping Springs, and y'all, Cannon won, and not only did he win his competition, he was asked to judge the younger competition, and guess who was showing in the younger competition?
Nugget.
Y'all, when you were watching him
my
judge
pulse
Nugget,
was racing.
Yes, I was holding my breath. I was like, what is going to happen?
I told you this show was good.
And he was judging Nugget, and it turns out this young girl with a ginormous bow in her hair.
Very JoJo Siwa.
Jody Sweeten on Fuller House. She ends up winning, and Nugget comes in second, and Michelle is furious.
And she's like, you know, that's like having a coach of one of your teams in the Super Bowl being a referee.
She's like, yeah, this is just, and her over there talking to the Kane twins, that's just, you know what? We're classy. We're just classy, and we're professional. We're going to keep it that way. Cut to, we see Mr. Kane saying, oh, the Jody Reen, she spoke to me.
Oh, I love
and
this.
It was really nice of her. And Michelle says, oh, that's good of her to do that. Yeah. That's real good. And then she walks
don't
away
be
and
surprised
said,
if it's a don't setup.
It's set up. It's a setup. She's going to fuck you over, just so you know. But that's fine. Good for you.
And he's so she so Jody has done what she wanted and got her pissed off. Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. At the very end, she's like to camera and confessional, you reap what you sow.
Get it? Because it's Sal.
I did not even think.
Sal spelled the same way? Yeah.
No. Reap what you sow is S-E-W.
Oh.
Like you sow something.
Oh, yeah, like sowing. Oh, never mind.
No. I don't think you understand. Like you sow seeds. You don't sow like this.
I know. I just...
Like you sow grass. You understand people?
Yes, yes.
Why am I? I feel like I want to throw my head through a plate glass window sometimes.
Y'all, it's good. We're here for it. There's going to be a shitstorm coming. It's only as this episode premiered, there's only four episodes that have dropped.
Right. I think there's probably going to be eight. I'm thinking eight. Maybe
they drop
six.
One a week?
Yeah. They dropped the first two. In 1 week, and then dropped. That we're up to episode 4 now, and I think episode 5 will drop on Tuesday. That's when it drops.
And y'all, we're doing the same thing. We're dropping our first two episodes on this free feed. If you're listening on our Reality Gaze feed, we're dropping again. Try before you buy. And then if you're interested and you want to download the rest of this show, you go to our $8 tier of our Reality
Either
Gaze Extra.
Patreon or Supercast.
Yes, and what you can also get with that, you can get all the back episodes of Love After Lockup. When Love After Lockup comes back in June, you'll be able to get that. That was our smothered tier. So
and you also get all current episodes ad-free.
ad-free commercial. So even regular 90
for
days,
your Beyonce,
ad-free for your pleasure. That's the show. That's all I got.
That's the show. That's God, this show's so good. I really enjoy it.
I really like it too.
This has literally been the best thing I've watched since 2021.
We're getting some gifts between this and then that sister show that's coming.
I'm really scared to watch it.
Because you know you're going to love it and we're going to have to do it.
It's actually a little sick to me.
You said that about Smothered?
Yeah.
And boy, you hate those words.
Well, they're still... If Sarah and what's her name come back and Lori come back, you'll have to be like Clockwork Orange me for my eyes because that's the one where I just feel sad watching them. Oh, Sarah, you're gonna give me a kidney?
Yeah, Mom, sure.
Oh, I love you so much.
Great, smell my teeth.
Anyway, y'all, that is the show. That is Pig Royalty.
What's our sign off?
We don't have one. You can go to realitygazepodcast.com for all our other shows. Come at us on Cameo and Twitter. Hey, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate that so much. If you don't know what to say, you can
just keep going, queen.
And with that, y'all,
we'll see you later.
It's going to work.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.